Hello, friends, and thank you so much for listening to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at one of the upcoming Sunday readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 34th episode. My name is Stephen London, joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. We're all clergy at St. Thomas Anglican Church. Stephanie also is the priest in charge at St. Columba Beaumont, and Michael is retired Archdeacon of the diocese. Normally, I check in with Stephanie and Michael, but we had a bit of hard news today. If our audience doesn't know yet, Bishop Jane just announced that she will be retiring as Bishop of the diocese. She has been a bishop with us for quite some time. I'm not sure exactly how long, over a decade.
Almost 13 years.
13 years, yeah. So she will be deeply missed. And obviously, as a diocese, we're going to have to go through a time of transition. So please keep her in your prayers after you listen to this podcast. Today on our podcast, we're talking about the other great feast in the season of Epiphany, the baptism of Christ. And if you wish to read the story ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. In our reading today, we have the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord. He's probably about 30 years old, a very mature man in the Judaism of his day. We know just slightly less than nothing about the first 30 years of his life. But in this story, we have him showing up at the River Jordan to participate with probably hundreds of other people in being baptized by the prophet John the Baptist. John has been predicting this moment, that there would come one who would baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is baptized, and as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and a voice from heaven states, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." And thus begins the public ministry of Jesus. So what does this mean for us as Christians? Well, I'd like to turn to Michael and Stephanie and ask exactly that question. I'm curious, as you have meditated on the story in preparation for the podcast, what stood out to you?
The thing that came to me in particular was just that whole concept of the beginning of ministry. It is the beginning of his ministry, but also reflecting on the fact that as one who was baptized, back in the last millennium, my ministry started then too, I guess, too. And I was baptized, although I wasn't 30, I was only about 8 months old. But it's about a beginning. And baptism for me is a very important part of our tradition, because it's a new beginning for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too. Of course, this reading starts with verse 4, but if we go back to verse 1, that's the first verse in essentially the New Testament. I mean, in our Bibles, we have Matthew first, but this is the beginning of Mark's telling of the story, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right off the bat. So it opens with not Jesus' birth, but the beginning of his ministry here.
We read the first passage for this Sunday as well. It's from Genesis, and it's about the beginning of creation. It's a little bit of the creation narrative. That too is about beginning, because, and it all has to do with water. Water is an important aspect in all of this.
It's interesting you point that out, Michael, because it also has to do with the Holy Spirit, water and the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, the other reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, and in it, Paul was asking, when they were baptized, had they received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we never heard of the Holy Spirit. And it's actually water, but also the Holy Spirit is intertwined in each of these three readings and seems to be a huge focus.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels here. I like that you brought up that Genesis reading, Michael, because it has that powerful phrase in it, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, or the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. And it's really reflected in Jesus's baptism as well, where the Spirit of God is present with the water at the moment of creation, and then present with Jesus with the water at the moment of God's new creation starting to take hold. So those those elements are combined in these big cosmic moments of God doing something. And the other thing that ties back to, of course, is John the Baptist, who's very much the Elijah figure, the prophet Elijah. And we've talked about John the Baptist a couple of times in this podcast. He's got a few days for himself, but here he's taking us back to Isaiah, who's saying that, you know, this is one of the signs that the Messiah is coming. And of course, that says through that narrative structure that Jesus is the Messiah. That's what John is pointing to.
One of the things that stood out to me actually came from a conversation we had in our daily morning prayer when this reading came up. And one of the parishioners had asked the question, when Jesus is baptized and he sees the heavens torn apart, and this torn apart is a very violent verb, ripped apart, skitse. And she had asked if this was tied at all to the tearing of the temple at the crucifixion. And I went and looked it up. And in fact, it is the exact same verb. And so I was just blown away by the artistry of Mark tying these two events together, this revelation of who God is. We see Jesus entering into our human condition, our human situation, and revealing the love of God, the descending of God for us, and also redeeming us. I just found that a very profound connection.
I love that Jesus' ministry starts with exactly that, this voice, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. And I know there's parenting theories that say that if a child knows that they're loved right from the beginning, then they're much more resilient and much more able to face whatever happens to come into their lives. And I love that the beginning of Jesus' ministry is this affirmation of who he is.
Affirmation comes before the ministry, before the earthly ministry of Jesus. It comes simply because he is Jesus. He is God's son. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to know that, in fact, he is special.
Yeah, it's unearned at this point. I like that point.
That's actually one of the interesting points about baptism for me. Of course, when we talk about the baptism of Christ at church, it's always tied or usually tied with a reaffirmation of our baptismal covenant. And so there's this close connection between our baptism and Jesus' baptism, because our baptism is what connects us to Jesus at a profound level. And when I'm preparing people for baptism, or usually preparing the parents for baptizing a small baby, I tell them that one of the things that we hear from God is exactly this: you are my beloved child, with you I am well pleased. And it's, I think, going with what you said, Michael, one of the things I love about baptizing a baby is that before they can do anything to earn or merit or what have you, there is this, exactly that, affirmation of love from God for them.
The passage leaves me wondering whether the people who were there at the same time as Jesus' baptism could hear the voice of God speaking, or whether this is something that only Jesus heard. We don't get an answer to that.
It seems to be one of those questions, I think, that the Gospels are having this conversation about that within themselves, because they don't necessarily agree on who heard the voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because, of course, in the Gospel of John, so there's this dove coming out. It doesn't really speak about the voice. But John talks about that he saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I wonder if maybe just John alone was given a special gift of seeing what was going on. Maybe you're right. Maybe the other people didn't hear that. It was just for Jesus and John, I don't know, spectated.
Yes.
And is it Matthew that says they heard something like thunder?
Well, that's in a different place. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's another interesting question when I ponder the baptism of Christ is in the other Gospels, or at least in, I think, Matthew and Luke, John is resistant. He's not resistant in this Gospel. They leave out that part. But in the other ones, John is resistant. He says, no, maybe I should be baptized by you the other way around. And Jesus says, no, 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 this is the way that it's all got to work together. And so I often ask myself this question, well, why does Jesus go forward for baptism? Because at least the way John is portraying it, it's about repentance. And presumably Jesus doesn't really have to repent. But I think as Christians have meditated on this over the years, it is in line with what Paul was talking about in Philippians about God emptying himself, that out of love, he comes with us. He walks alongside of us. And so this baptism is a sign of Jesus walking alongside of us, doing something he doesn't have to do, but to show his, solidarity with us.
It's also interesting that this event happens in the wilderness out with the people. It doesn't happen in the temple. It happens out where the people are. Mm-hmm. If you travel to the Holy Land these days, they take you to a spot that they think might have been the baptismal site. There are a number of sites, a number of places like that where they think, well, it could be like this, you know, it could have been like this, but it's definitely wilderness with trees and water, and the people can wade into the water and there be baptized. And so it's very much a for the people kind of moment.
That's a great point. On an interesting side note, Michael, we did go there, and they said it was actually an interesting temptation for a lot of Christians, because of course, a Christian theology states that you can only be baptized once and it's never to be repeated. But people are so enamored with being at the spot, they really, really do want to get baptized again in order to do it. And so there's this odd temptation on the River Jordan.
Also had the experience of people who've been to the Holy Land who've somehow or other smuggled bottles of water onto the airplane from the River Jordan so that it can be mingled with the water that we use for baptism, in some way making it more special for that particular candidate.
It is one of those sacraments that has a lot of symbols attached to it. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of them, the connection through the water with Jesus and with the Holy Land. And this idea of water, in our baptism service, we have candle. It's very primal. It's touching something very, very foundational in us as humans. And I think that's why from the earliest times, we've seen baptism as, in a sense, a symbolic death and rising, going into the water and then coming out of it with the new life of Christ. And, you know, I think the ancient Christian baptistries, that was the imagery that was in mosaics and frescoes around them, was the idea that you are actually dying and rising with Christ.
I had a parishioner who took me to an Orthodox service at the Ukrainian village in January. It was bitter cold, but in a profound sense, it's a beautiful service because they do it outside. And when they bless the water, not just there, but anywhere, they're blessing huge, often bodies of water, be it a lake or a river or even an ocean. And they have this vision that all the water in the world has been blessed through the baptism of Christ, all the water flowing throughout the world, and that they're, in a sense, reaffirming this blessing of all the water of the world. It was a very moving service. Then they give you a drink of the holy water. Mine almost froze in the cup while I was holding it, I think. But I found it a very moving service. It did go for quite a long time.
Wasn't this January, obviously.
No, this was a couple of years ago, I think.
Stephanie, when you talked about the light and the candle, I have to confess, for this particular reading, I kept getting drawn back to the Old Testament reading from Genesis. And it's a very short passage. It's five verses, but it's the very beginning of the creation story. And it's about the wind and over the surface of the waters, and you sort of get a sense of turmoil, and then suddenly God starts to act, and he brings some sort of peace, but more importantly, he brings light. It's the part of Genesis where he says, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God was pleased with that. And so for me, that is a very, this festival is about the enlightenment. It's about bringing the light of Christ out so that people can see it. So yeah, that's the connection I make.
That's a beautiful connection. Actually, that's a good connection, I think, to end on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as we come to the end of our podcast, we're enlightened, may we say. What would you take from this as we meditate on this over the next week in terms of where we are now in this time of COVID?
It's about discovering that the darkness, God overcomes the darkness. And this may be this is for many people a dark time, and yet it gives me hope, as do all the other passages that we've looked at. It gives me hope that there will be light. The darkness will become less dark or more light.
Mm-hmm. Similar vein, I would say in times of turmoil, to look for where the Spirit of God is hovering over that and doing something new. And also the reminder that through our baptism, we receive the life of God. And whenever, you know, sometimes it's hard to maybe touch that or be aware of it, but to have the faith that God is working in us and is working through the sacraments.
God is pleased with us too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What you'd said, Steve, that we can hear God's words to Jesus to us as well.
Yeah, those are words actually helpful to meditate on. And maybe that will be what I end with for myself today, is to take those words and to speak them to myself, knowing that God speaks them to me. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased. And to know that love of God is profound, especially now. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast on the baptism of Christ. We enjoy making them. We enjoy having conversations about them. We enjoy hearing what you have to say. And if you do have anything you'd love to say about it, please leave it just in the comments below the podcast, or you could email them to me at revstevelondon@gmail.com. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Bye for now.